Well, hi there, boys and girls. This week went by in a hurry, didn't it? And it's time for the Children's Bible Club again. Turn up the volume on your radio a little so you can hear well and won't miss one song or any of today's story. I'm always delighted to get letters or notes from you Bible Clubbers. And I'm always proud of you when you find the answers to the Bible quiz and send them in. So, if you'll get your pencil and paper ready, in just a little bit, I'll give you a good question for you to find the answer in the treasure house of your Bible. But first, here's the choir. Thank you, boys and girls. Bible Clubbers, did you ever try to weave a basket? Some people can make beautiful ones. Maybe your mother has some baskets. There are many kinds: bread baskets, egg baskets, flower baskets. There are many baskets mentioned in the Bible. Joseph dreamed of the bread basket on the baker's head. Gideon put meat in a basket for the angel. Jeremiah saw a basket of good figs and a basket of very bad figs. The disciples gathered up 12 baskets full of leftovers after Jesus fed the multitude. I always think that was wonderful. When our Lord Jesus worked a miracle of feeding 5,000 men, plus women and children, who knows how many there were altogether, he didn't just barely give them enough, just enough to scrape by. No, he gave them all they could eat with enough leftovers for the disciples to take home to their families and neighbors. Jesus surely isn't skimpy with his supply, is he? As the good hymn says, they who trust him wholly find him wholly true. So there are many uses for baskets in the Bible, but there was one that had a special use in Acts, the 9th chapter. Do you think that basket was a big one or a little one? What was put in it, and why? It's an exciting story, a dangerous story. Look in Acts 9:25 and find the answer. That's Acts 9:25. Then send your answer to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570, USA. Let me repeat. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street. Chestnut, like the nut or the certain color of a pretty horse. 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. Can you find out about that basket? I hope so, and I'll be looking for your card or note. And now, Here's the choir before story time. Psalm says, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. A Christian must live by the principles of the Bible. But Samson didn't ask what was right. He just went by his feelings and emotions. He was violently angry when his wife gave the enemy his secret. He killed 30 Philistines and went stomping home. His temper was quick. But he got over it and forgot how he had been wronged. He longed for his wife's charms and decided to go back to make up with her. Don't go back, Samson. Learn from experience. But Samson dreamed of her beauty and his heart melted. He forgot how treacherous and selfish she was and headed back to see her. He probably thought that she'd be glad to see him no matter how he had acted. Selfish folks think that way, but no one wants to be around such a person. Samson was expecting a warm welcome. He took her a nice gift. But gifts won't buy love. When he knocked at the door, her father wouldn't even let him in. He told Samson, By the way you acted, I thought you hated my daughter. I let her marry another man. Go away. Samson was shocked. I'll get even with you, he fumed. He didn't care about God's rule, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. No, Samson would get even himself. Like a wild man, he rushed through the woods, of all things, catching foxes. Most fox hunters have parties with horses, dogs, and guns, and chase miles for one pitiful fox. But Samson, by himself, barehanded, caught 300 wild, snarling foxes. What was he doing? He was taking the foxes, two at a time, and tying their tails together. Oh no, I can't look. He put a torch between their tails and set them on fire. Oh, poor foxes! Wild with pain, they ran through the fields, corn shocks, grape vineyards, olive orchards, yapping in pain, setting fire to everything in their path. Soon the whole valley was ablaze. Clouds of smoke darkened the sky. Some Philistines ran for their lives. Some tried to beat out the flames, but it was too late. Samson found a deadly way to get even. His wrath would not be forgotten. The Philistines would have no meal for bread. The cornfields were destroyed. They would have no oil or wine. The olive orchards and vineyards were destroyed. Samson watched, smug and proud. Now the Philistines vowed their revenge. A relentless lynch mob marched toward him. But Samson descended like a storm and wiped them out. Would this one man war ever stop? Then he saw a sickening sight. Another mob was coming. It was not the enemy. His own people had turned on him, and like defeated slaves came begging, Samson, the Philistines rule over us. You're making things worse. If you surrender, maybe life wouldn't be so hard." Instead of rallying behind him, they meant to turn him over to the enemy, willing to pay any price for peace and safety. "I just gave them a taste of their own medicine," he said. "An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." But at their groveling pleas, he yielded. He wouldn't fight his own people and have their blood on his hands. But he made them promise not to kill him themselves. So he let them take him. What a sad sight! Traitors to their own hero. Peace at any price? No, the Bible tells us to do right at any price. With his hands tied behind him, he was led toward the foe that waited triumphantly, shouting, "Samson is our prisoner!" Suddenly, Samson's eyes blazed. Like a lion awakened, his visage changed. God's spirit came upon him. His ropes fell off like singed thread. Samson burst forth, grabbed up the jawbone of a donkey, and began slinging it with superhuman strength. As the terrified enemy tried to flee, Samson clobbered them one after another until 1,000 dead Philistines littered the ground. He was victorious, but exhausted. Dying of thirst, where were his countrymen for whom he had fought so hard? They had deserted him and fled. Samson stood alone in a sea of dead bodies. "Lord," he cried, "after this great deliverance, must I die of thirst?" In mercy, God caused cool, clear water to flow from a hollow in the jawbone Samson had used for a weapon. God gave water to sustain his life. And God will give his living water to those who receive his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true water of life. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." The Israelites saw Samson's mighty acts and made him their judge. For 20 years they had peace. God used him for his purpose. That should encourage us to serve God too, but he will not overlook sin. We must obey God's word. And now, God bless you till next time.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club, a ministry of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School in Milton, Florida. If the stories and songs have been a blessing to you, why not write and let Aunt Carolyn know? When you write, be sure to mention the call letters of this good radio station. Send your letter to Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. When you write, ask for a free brochure of all the Aunt Carolyn stories, as well as other good Christian books and materials for children and adults. That address again is Aunt Carolyn, 6331 Chestnut Street, Milton, Florida, 32570. You may also visit our website, childrensbibleclub.com. Keep listening and tell a friend about the broadcast so they can listen too. Now, I'm Adam Watt saying God bless you until next week at the same time.